Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Friday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. I appreciate you tuning in as we wrap up the week and we get you headed into the weekend. We've got a lot of news to catch you up on before we get there, though. We have just entered a new phase of North Carolina's reopening from the COVID-19 pandemic as some capacity limits for businesses just went into effect across North Carolina truly minutes ago. Governor Roy Cooper announced earlier this week a new executive order that went into effect at 5 o'clock, rolling back some of the pandemic restrictions put in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Some indoor retail businesses will now be able to open up to 100% capacity, while restaurants can go up to 75% capacity indoors, and businesses like bars, movie theaters, and auditoriums can open up both indoors and outdoors at a 50% capacity. These changes will all happen as the alcohol sales curfew for 11 p.m. has been lifted. As well, it is important to note the mask mandate and physical distancing requirements are still in place when attending these businesses and out and about across the state. But one of the reasons that state leaders have made this move is the rate of vaccination across North Carolina. And as we learned yesterday, we're going to be seeing changes to that again soon, too. At his press conference yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper announced an accelerated timeline for moving the remaining people in Group 4 to become eligible and shared the date when Group 5, the rest of the state, will become eligible, too. Group 4, the remaining people in Group 4 will become eligible on March 31st, next Wednesday, and all other North Carolinians over the age of 16 and up, I should say, will become eligible the following Wednesday, April 7th. Now, while all North Carolinians 16 and older will be eligible, there are some limits to what vaccines will be available for people who are in the 16 years old to 18 years old range. Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Mandy Cohen, recently explained.
It's important for folks to understand that there's only one of the three vaccines that is currently authorized for emergency use in those that are 16 or 17. It's only the Pfizer vaccine that is authorized for 16 and 17 year olds. That means the Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson are only for those who are 18 and up. Pfizer is for 16 and up. As we go into Group 5, we know that we are going to be opening it up to that group, and we're going to need to make it easier for those who are 16 and 17 to identify which providers have the Pfizer vaccine. So stay tuned to some updates to our Vaccine Finder tool to make that easier over the next couple of weeks.
Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Mandy Cohen, speaking there. Now, with this accelerated schedule announced for Group 4, UNC is moving up its vaccination timeline for students who qualify. At the UNC Board of Trustees meeting on Thursday, Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz gave an update on COVID-19 vaccination and testing efforts as the university looks to return to full in-person learning this fall. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has more.
At UNC's Board of Trustees meeting, UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said the Carolina testing program is working exactly as planned. Since the start of the spring semester, all undergraduate students living on campus or in the Chapel Hill and Carrboro community have been required to participate in regular asymptomatic testing in an attempt to mitigate virus spread.
As of this week, we've conducted more than 123,000 tests, and our positivity rate among our campus community members is 0.24%.
Guskowitz said he is encouraged by these low positivity rates, especially as more of the campus community is vaccinated. As vaccination efforts continue to ramp up across the state, UNC is now preparing to vaccinate students on campus in accordance with new state distribution guidelines. On Thursday, Governor Roy Cooper announced that all of Group 4 will become eligible a week early, beginning March 31st. For UNC, this applies to students living in congregate settings, including on-campus dorms and Greek life houses. It also applies to students in off-campus housing, like apartment complexes and rented homes. As Group 4 eligibility opens ahead of schedule, Guskowitz said students will soon be able to get vaccinated at UNC's new vaccination clinic.
We just learned that Carolina will be receiving 2,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to begin distributing at that clinic next week. And this is great for our campus. As you well know, the J&J vaccine only requires one dose, making it quick and convenient for students to become vaccinated, particularly for those who may be leaving the area at the end of the semester.
While vaccinations will not be required for students, faculty, or staff, Guskowitz said they are strongly encouraged.
We have been encouraging everyone within our campus community to receive the vaccination as soon as they're eligible. This is a critical step in ending the pandemic and returning to normal campus operations as soon as possible.
Earlier this month, UNC leadership announced their plan to make a full return to in-person instruction in the fall, with Guskowitz saying he is encouraged by the decreasing trend in COVID-19 cases and the increasing pace of the vaccine rollout locally. In Orange County, nearly 32% of residents are at least partially vaccinated, with 21% fully vaccinated.
This is important as we think about how the fall semester is going to look. And we've continued to consult with our public health and faculty experts as we anticipate for a return to full in-person instruction and normal campus operations for this fall, with many measures likely still in place to protect against the potential spread of the virus.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
A few other pieces of UNC news to catch you up on here. Just a few minutes ago, UNC announced an open call for submissions of potential building names, or people buildings could even be named after, as they are seeing some building names change across their campus. Three buildings are already upped. Have already had their names removed. Those were the Carr Building, the Daniels Building, and Acock Hall that are looking for new names to be approved. But of course, there could be more coming in the future, and as more buildings are built, they will be looking for names. UNC already has some stored up in their honorific naming registry, but people can add some names to that or suggest some names to be added to that registry. Through April 9th at 5 p.m., people can submit through a form online at the Office of the Chancellor's website. Once again, through April 9th at 9 p.m., they will be taking those submissions for names of people, and there's a whole list of criteria that the university will be keeping in mind on that website. Be sure to head there, as well as our article on chapelboro.com, to learn more. The other piece of UNC news is that the university earned some recognition this week in a nationwide college list. The Wall Street Journal and Times released its higher education rankings, and they had Carolina third among all public universities in the country and first among those in the South. Some traffic news here to wrap up the segment. An Owosso contractor has begun work on a waterline replacement project on Ballinwood Drive around the bridge crossing Bowling Creek. Work will take place in the roadway and will cause lane closures throughout the project, sometimes even closing the entire road in the area. Work on weekdays is going to be taking place 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some Saturday work also may occur, which would take place from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And according to both the town and Owosso, the work is expected to take 30 to 45 days to complete, and it will, of course, be weather dependent. Time now for a look at sports around our community. We've got UNC men's tennis in action at the moment. They are up in Blacksburg taking on Virginia Tech. After winning the early doubles match, we've had the Tar Heels win two of their single matches and lose one of those. So it does, won two of the singles, and the rest at the moment are still up for grabs. We will be keeping an eye on that as they continue that match. The women's tennis team also played Virginia Tech earlier today. They were playing in Chapel Hill. They did not have any problems at all. They won 4-1 after a slight rain delay and improved their record to 18-0 on the season. Later tonight, actually in just a few minutes, the Diamond Heels are going to be back in action also in Chapel Hill. They're hosting NC State for a three-game series and have some momentum going after the win against number 8 ECU earlier in the week. The first game of it is going to be right here on the air once we wrap up this show at 6 o'clock. Austin Love taking the mound for Carolina tonight. Spring practice continues for the Tar Heel football program, and a few players took time to speak to the media on Thursday about how it's going. A lot of national attention on Carolina has been on the offensive side of the ball, which is understandable with quarterback Sam Howell and the weapons he's got there. But the Tar Heels will also return nearly all of their defensive starters, meaning the unit shows some real promise for growth. One of those exciting players is cornerback Tony Grimes, who will enter his sophomore season and has already emerged as one of the team's top personalities as well as lockdown defenders. Here's what he said his expectations were for growth this year and what he has done so far.
The offseason was very great for me. It helped me put on some size, helped me get more in the film room, just helped me get more confidence, training, coming in here with the teammates, building our relationship even more trustworthy on the defense. And my expectations for this season is to be the best corner I could be. Just try to be the number one corner that everyone talks about, ESPN, SportsCenter, just try to be that dude that everyone talks about. So that's my expectations. I'm coming in high. I'm trying to be the best DB in the country.
Once again, sophomore cornerback Tony Grimes speaking there. And UNC spring practice is going on through the rest of this month. They'll be holding their pro day for the football team on Monday. Speaking of other college sports news, the NCAA announced Thursday men's and women's Division I soccer tournaments are going to be held entirely in North Carolina this year. The NCAA's soccer committees believe having all of the teams in one region will help minimize travel, eliminate the need to comply with differing COVID-19 protocols, and cut the length of the postseason. The early round games are going to be held at host sites like Campbell University, East Carolina, UNC Wilmington, UNC Greensboro, and Wake Forest, but both of the national championship games will be happening just down the road at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary on May 17th. And speaking of championship games, good luck to both of the East Chapel Hill High School lacrosse programs. Both the boys and girls teams are going to be in action over the weekend, battling for their respective state championships. The girls team playing their game at 3:30 and the guys team at 6 o'clock. Once again, good luck to them as they look to bring home, look at that, a pairing of titles there. Welcome back into News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. 13 Orange County BIPOC elected officials, Black Indigenous persons of color, penned a letter recently of solidarity with the Asian American communities amid a rise of violence and xenophobia. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach reports on these efforts to combat and speak against racial injustice.
The letter comes after continued harassment of the Asian American community and in response to the shooting in Atlanta last Tuesday, which left 8 people dead. State Senator for Orange County, Valerie Fushi, is one of the elected officials who signed the statement. She is also one of the sponsors of the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which was recently filed in the NC Senate.
It changes the current definition for what a hate crime is to include ethnicity, gender, gender identity, gender expression, disability, and sexual orientation. It also increases penalties for certain crimes and allows for victims of hate crimes to sue for damages in civil court, including litigation fees, actual damages to physical health or property, and emotional damages.
Fushi said the current hate crime laws are defined as crimes against a person for his or her race, color, religion, nationality, and country of origin. The current laws do not provide training for law enforcement on handling hate crimes. The new bill would provide the education needed for identifying, handling, and prosecuting hate crimes in North Carolina. Fushi also mentioned this isn't the first time they've tried to pass such legislation.
Is a bill that we have reintroduced. We have introduced this bill in 2017 and 2019, and the occurrences continue.
Fushi said the bill may not be able to stop hate crimes from occurring, but they can make it difficult for occurrences to continue. Recent experiences within the Orange County community help highlight the need for this legislation. In Chapel Hill, 6 years ago, 3 Muslim students were killed in Finley Forest. Another incident occurred this past summer at Binkley Baptist Church during a vigil when a young woman was punched in the face for being the only African American in the group of people.
We are geared to thinking that if it happens here, it can happen anywhere. But we also have to remember that if it happens anywhere, it can happen here.
In the statement by the Orange County BIPOC officials, they endorse the Hate Crimes Prevention Act and are encouraging the full legislature to pass the bill for North Carolinian safety and protection. In response to the recent hate crimes to Asian Americans, they said, "We mourn with those whose loved ones were brutally murdered and all who have been targets of violence and hatred because of their race." Joel Brown, a member of the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board, drafted the letter. She spoke with 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck about reactions from the Asian American community during vigils held throughout Orange County.
People have been very disparaging and very hurtful to people thinking that they brought the COVID, if you will. It's so disappointing in my hometown, my home county, that people would make such statements to people who are actually helping people during this really rough and challenging time with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Brown said racism is often looked upon as just black and white.
We wanted to break that sort of myth because racism just doesn't affect black people. It affects Latinx people. It affects Asian people. It affects LGBT community. We want to have people understand that this America we're on is one boat and there are no others. We don't believe that if you end racism against black people only or people of color, that's all right. We believe that racism should be eradicated against everyone.
Chair of the Orange County Commissioners Renee Price also signed the letter. She spoke with 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell and echoed what Brown said.
Violence against, whether it's against African Americans, Indigenous people, Asian Americans, it's wrong. And it hurts every time we hear of someone else being victimized by senseless acts of violence. And it needs to stop. We've been watching it for hundreds of years, but it needs to stop.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.